Element Alpha, Nadine ordered. Assume point. Beta will provide cover while Gamma remains in close support of the convoy. The commanders of the task force elements acknowledged Alpha's group already flaring its drives to four gravities as it moved out ahead of the relief column, while Beta took a little more time to fill in the cover position. The Cheyenne held back with its escorts, taking the drag position of the formation, covering the column directly, while Admiral Brooks settled in to wait for the results of long-range sensing systems. The Ares system was so named because the closest thing in the entire godforsaken place to a habitable planet was Mars's long-lost twin brother. Someone took a look at that and decided to get cute with the mythology and give the Greek god of war his own planet to match his Roman counterparts back in Sol. Were that all it had to recommend it, the name probably would have been the only thing worthy noting about the system. Initial surveys, however, had thrown the astro mining companies back home for a loop when they reported absolutely insane densities of both transuranic and so-called rare earth materials. The whole planet was made of the stuff, to the point that it had been back on Earth. All a prospector would need to strike it rich would be a shovel and a jeep. Even when you accounted for shipping costs, living expenses, and all the associated insanity of living and working off-world, Ares was still profitable enough to break several monopolies of material back on Earth and completely shake up the balance of economic power. There are a few nations back home that aren't shedding any tears over the loss of these facilities, Nadine thought to herself as she began examining the data that was starting to filter in from deeper in-system. Things looked quiet on the passive scanners, nothing throwing up red flags around Ares or its moons. Knowing the enemy's penchant for hiding in the glare of the sun, however, that gave her cold comfort. The gravity sensors were reading exactly as predicted. No unusual accelerations that might indicate someone playing with the fabric of spacetime. Nadine finally forced herself to relax a bit, keeping a close eye on the system's primary, but otherwise turning her focus to deploying her ships and getting the relief column to its destination in good time. The convoy took 2 days after arriving in system to make planetary orbit of Ares, keeping to a leisurely pace that permitted the lead elements to coordinate on a full system scan. Not that she expected to find anything, but it was nice to have an up-to-date scan for stellar cartography to file. The space of even a relatively small system like Ares was so impossibly vast that unless you knew what you were looking for and roughly where it was, you were highly unlikely to find it. In Sol's system, they were still finding planet-sized objects, even after more than a century of interplanetary space travel. Nothing close in-system, of course, but there were plenty of planetary objects floating around within the orbit of Pluto that just happened to be off the normal orbital plane. Several had been found and claimed by various nations who set up deep space research bases and mining facilities on them. And those were planets. A ship, even a big ship, could hide almost literally anywhere. With that in mind, Nadine redirected her military units to covering the orbitals and likely approach vectors within eye to ships hiding near the sun or the system gas giants. With that done, her job was pretty much superfluous as the relief column took over. She watched as they sent down shuttles containing both relief supplies and the construction material needed to anchor the new tether. Installation would take days at best, assuming any of the old fallback sites were still intact. Weeks if they had to survey for a new one before they could begin construction. But for her and her task force crews, it was now a waiting and watching game. USF Fleet Offices, Spaceport America, New Mexico. What had once been one of the sleepiest offices in the entire city was now constantly buzzing with activity. The United Solarian fleet had operated on a shoestring budget for so long, they'd had to cannibalize most of their shoes. Now, however, even with the Americans and British taking the lead in fleet operations, their budget had increased 100-fold, leaving the beleaguered administration of the USF with what might be termed an embarrassment of riches.